Welcome back. It is the Shaggy Cheekins Show, the only podcast with a guy that is named Shaggy. Actually, I don't know if that's entirely accurate. Coming up on today's episode, we'll talk a little bit about the historical town of Lahaina on the beautiful Isle of Maui. We're 1 month out from the event that just devastated the Isles here. And we'll talk about, well, restoration and history. Before we get to any of that, a brief introduction. Hi, my name is Shaggy Jenkins. I am a radio broadcaster guy just recently who had to rebuild his entire studio and is still trying to figure out the controls. My apologies on the last episode for the audio quality, but yeah, this is my podcast. I have been lately kind of covering some of the issues surrounding the aftermath of the Maui wildfires. Those fires happened about, a month ago. On August 8th, 2023, wildfires ravaged the Isle of Maui. Now, of course, we're still trying to play the blame game here, figure out who did what and how they started and all of that. But what you should know is at the end of the day, a lot of people lost their lives, and the island lost one of the more historical parts, well, of the entire chain. There is something to consider, though. Now, I've been talking a lot about just the immediate aftermath, but now that we are a month out of the event, I should probably bring this up because it's kind of important. See, recently the Lahaina Restoration Society has gotten together, and they've started to talk about how to restore the historical components of Lahaina. Now, this does mean looking at some of the buildings that were absolutely destroyed and still have partial structure standing up, and determining which one of those structures and how they can restore it to its former glory. Now, while this debate over buildings and streets and stuff like that is all well and good, one debate has kind of splintered the island into two groups, and that is going to be the Banyan versus Ulu group. You probably have no idea what I'm talking about. Well, let's go way, way back in history, shall we? To a thriving town in Lahaina, a capital of the Kingdom of Hawaii, that was situated by the sea, all right? This was the home of King Kamehameha III's rule. And, well, I could get into the whole sordid detail, but let's just skip ahead and say that there was a bunch of missionaries that showed up and started to have a lot of impact on Hawaiian culture, education. There was the whaling industry that came in during the 19th century, and who can forget the illegal annexation of the nation of Hawaii by the United States in 1898? Okay, so there we have just a layout of the basic historical side of Lahaina. If you've never been to Maui before, now you can say, oh, I understand why Lahaina is so important. But one of the marks in Lahaina, one of the most famous thing, and people love getting their picture taken near it, is the Lahaina banyan tree. And that is kind of where the history of Lahaina diverges. You see, Lahaina, when it was the capital of the Kingdom of Hawaii, it had lots of water to go around. I mean, Lahaina was really known as, well, almost quite literally, a breadbasket of the archipelago, the nation. And I say that because one of the biggest indigenous plants, okay, well, it's not quite indigenous, but it does have a longer history than the other one. One of the big things that Lahaina was known for was the ulu tree, okay? Now, they were brought to the Isles. Like I said, they're not indigenous. However, they arrived with the indigenous people that would eventually become Hawaiians. Some 1,500 plus years ago. And the breadfruit tree, as you would commonly call it, or the ulu tree here, has had a significant role. It was one of the staple food sources for Hawaiians during, a large part of their history, and even has very deep cultural significance. I mean, there's a whole, and I don't want to use this word too lightly, there is a whole mythology behind the ulu and the ulu tree that really is too long for me to get in, to get in depth through in one show. Let me just tell you, it's important. And it's important specifically to the Hawaiian culture. And that is where the problem starts. You see, on the other side of the whole, I can't believe we're having this, the whole debate of trees, there is one tree that is super famous here. It is the banyan tree. I think it's called the Ficus bengalensis. Yeah, something like that. It was planted by Sheriff William Owen Smith, in case you're wondering, no, that's not a Hawaiian name, in 1873. You see, he wanted to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the first American Protestant mission in Lahaina, which is the mission that was known as starting the downfall and eventual taking of the nation by the colonizers. Yeah, so he planted the Lahaina banyan tree, not a native plant to the islands, to celebrate a 50th anniversary of essentially the colonizers showing up. Now, I know it's very significant to the history of it, and you can even argue with me that Sheriff William Owen Smith was not that bad of a guy. I mean, he did make contributions to Hawaiian society as a non-Hawaiian. He advocated for their cultural traditions. He really did not like it when people were trying to ban hula and Hawaiian music. Now, he was in other issues too, land reform, some education stuff that might have had. But as a partial haole, a hapa, mixed in European ancestry, he had a weird, unique position in history. But when it comes to the culture, it's very clear. He wanted to be the quote-unquote best of both worlds coming together, and on the 50th anniversary of the Protestant mission showing up in Lahaina, he wanted to plant this banyan tree, this tree that was from the continent, and to show some sort of solidarity between Eurocentric and Hawaiian-centric cultures. Yeah. Basically, if you think about it, the banyan tree is a colonizer monument. And that's what a lot of people take it as. And that's where the question comes up. Remember how I started this whole podcast with who determines what history is going to get restored? And there was the Lahaina, Restoration Association. Yeah, the Lahaina Restoration Association coming together for the first time in 60 years to rebuild Lahaina again. But one of the big things that especially when it comes to indigenous ancestral Hawaiians, okay? I'm talking about the ones that are racially as well as culturally connected to the island, not transplants like me, no matter how long they've been on the island. I have to say that when it comes to them, it is very important that we talk about this recovery and restoration of Lahaina in a more cultural appropriate way. Now, a lot of people on island and especially off island from tourists around the world. There is a constant buzz about, well, did the banyan tree survive? Did the banyan tree do okay? Is the banyan tree okay after the Maui wildfires? 115 people died, by the way. But yeah, let's talk about trees. But this tree, this symbol of colonization, has divided the community for a very good reason. You see, during this recovery process, we are diverting resources specifically to preserve and resurrect the burned banyan tree. Instead of, now that we have this kind of reset of the island that unfortunately was thrust upon us by a wildfire, now that we have that, the call is, especially in a more culturally aware time that we live in, the call has been put out to, why are we diverting resources to this banyan tree when really we should be talking about restoring the ulu tree? That would be more close to the actual indigenous culture that started the town of Lahaina. Yes, over the years, it became kind of one of those whaling villages by the sea that eventually morphed into yet another tourist destination. Yes, I know that history. But let's talk about the actual land history. You see, Lahaina is suffering through D3 condition droughts. And in case you want to know what D3 is, it's the bad one. It's the really dry one. Every single day on the island, ever since the long ago thing that happened, it was only a month ago, but it seems like forever, and it also seems like yesterday, the Maui wildfires, when they came through and just wrecked everything. It started, how do I say this? It started a good debate that needed to happen forever. Which is, when it comes to water rights on Maui and what is actually good for the population as well as the island itself, the big issue when it comes to restoring Lahaina might not be between banyan trees or ulu trees. It might be over water rights for a very good reason. Lahaina traditionally was known as the place of many ponds. There was fresh water all over the place flowing down from the West Maui Mountains. It was everywhere. Why do you think there were so many ulu trees? But as we start to look forward for Lahaina, as we start to plan for the recovery of Lahaina, it might be time, instead of talking about the banyan tree and, well, all the other crazy stuff that's going on, and don't get me wrong, things like outside developers versus local developers, local families being able to retain ancestral lands that they've lived on, those issues are very important, but they are short-term. They are probably going to affect maybe 3 or 4 generations. But when you talk about the restoration of an entire town, especially a historical town, with ties to an indigenous pre-contact culture. When it comes to all of these factors together, we might not want to think 3 and 4 generations down the road. We might want to consider 10 and 20 generations down the road. Because all of the situation that set up these terrible drought conditions, they didn't happen overnight. The water rights fight on Maui has existed for over 180 years. So this did not happen overnight. This is a long story that I could probably do a whole series of podcasts on. But this is a long story of how a colonizing power came over and turned a multi botanical kind of environment into a monocrop environment and locked up a lot of the traditional ways that the land that they occupied received water. And as those years have went by, and as Lahaina has dried up more and more and more and more, yes, we have the debate over tourism versus local economy, and who has the right to determine what is historical here. That has been kind of a big debate. But the one debate that everybody is kind of dancing around is, when it comes to restoring Lahaina, are we going to restore the waters? Because it doesn't matter which side of the tree debate you're on. Remember the tree debate? It kind of occupied a large part of this cast. The tree debate, that is moot compared to how are these trees going to get water? Banyan or ulu trees or just simple grass, shrubs, and everything else, the fauna of the island, how is it going to get water? See, that's the question that all of these other questions dance around. Restoration, historical importance, and things. Yeah. When Lahaina was not as oppressed as it eventually became, there was plenty of water sources to go around to ensure something like the Maui wildfires probably wouldn't have been as devastating. There would have been a lot more green instead of brown. And green is a little bit harder. I mean, it does work, but it is a little bit harder for fire to digest. Could have possibly saved a lot of lives if we could have only, you know, considered the water 180 plus years ago. But instead, here we are in the year 2023, and while everybody is talking about the devastating destruction that the Lahaina wildfires brought, as long as we're talking about all of this stuff going forward, we kind of need to eye towards history, because history is trying to teach us a very valuable lesson. When we favor the people not indigenous from here, when we favor the banyan tree, we're actually favoring continuing to set up bad ecological conditions that contribute to the, unfortunately, the volatility of an area when it comes to wildfires. So you talk about the ulu tree, you talk about the banyan tree. Both of those need water. And that, historically, has never been something that people that were on the banyan side wanted to give up to people on the ulu side. Time and time again, we have kind of diverted resources to care for the non-indigenous plants with, yes, it does have historical significance. Yes, it is one of the oldest trees in the world, but it is not the tree of the culture that actually owns these islands. And that is going to be a problem. So looking ahead, 10 to 20 generations from now, it doesn't matter what tree side you fall on, do you fall on the side that Lahaina needs its waters restored? That this almost, I guess totalitarian would be the word, totalitarian grip on the West Maui water rights, will that ever be lifted to allow Lahaina not only to recover from this wildfire, but to insulate itself and to return itself to the cultural significance of those waters? Will it be allowed to have that future? That's on me and you. So, yeah. When it comes to Lahaina's future, is it in the banyan tree? Is it in the ulu tree? Doesn't matter. It's in water rights. And I hate to say it, I think it's time that we give up on the banyan tree and start focusing on the entire area affected. If you like this podcast, make sure you do me a favor. Subscribe, leave me a comment, throw it to a friend as a suggestion, and come back next time on the Shaggy Jenkins Show.